The sermon this evening comes from Exodus chapter 7, verses 14 through 25. Exodus chapter 7, starting with verse 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Pharaoh's heart is stubborn. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning as he is going out to the water and station yourself to meet him on the bank of the Nile. And you shall take in your hand the staff that was turned into a serpent. You shall say to him, 'The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, sent me to say to you, saying, "Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness." But behold, you have not listened until now. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the water that is in the Nile with the staff that is in my hand, and it will be turned to blood. The fish that are in the Nile will die, and the Nile will become foul, and the Egyptians will find difficulty in drinking water from the Nile. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, 'Take your staff and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over their rivers, over their streams, and over their ponds, and over all their reservoirs of water, that they may become blood. And there will be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone.' So Moses and Aaron did even as the Lord had commanded, and he lifted up the staff and struck the water that was in the Nile, and in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, and all the water that was in the Nile was turned to blood. The fish that were in the Nile died, and the Nile became foul, so that the Egyptians could not drink water from the Nile, and the blood was through all the land of Egypt. But the magicians of Egypt did the same with their secret arts, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them as the Lord had said. Then Pharaoh turned and went into his house with no concern even for this. So all the Egyptians dug around the Nile for water to drink, for they could not drink the water of the Nile. 7 days passed after the Lord had struck the Nile." Pray with me. Our God, bless us and help us now as we look at what you have done. And this has been given as an example to us, that we would know and understand and believe, and that we would walk in accordance with your commands. Bless us now. Convict our hearts where we have been shallow. Convict our hearts where we have been distracted and negligent. And help us to love your law, that we will walk in your truth. Bless us and help us. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Is it more annoying when someone ignores you or when someone contradicts you? We look at the scripture and we see that Pharaoh is in the position at this point where he is ignoring God. He has turned and he had walked into his house without concern for these things after the great announcement had been made. In our lives, do you find yourself actively contradicting God? Do you find yourself saying, "No, no"? Do you read through each of the Ten Commandments and do you give 10 no's as you read it? Well, when we look at our lives, perhaps we don't do that. Perhaps we don't actively say no. But perhaps we turn without concern and we go our own direction. We look here in the scripture and we see some people who have been given very hard things to do. We see Moses. We see his brother Aaron at this point in their 80s doing this hard work, approaching Pharaoh and telling him, "This is what you have to do." And we see also Pharaoh again turning without concern. Do you find yourself speaking the hard words in this life to your neighbors, to your loved ones, to your coworkers? Or do you find yourself turning without concern and going about your own business? In our lives, this is not how we are. It's not how we are saved by keeping God's law and His commands. We're saved as God has done a work within us, giving us a new heart to believe, to trust Him, to love Him. But in the course of our lives, in the course of our sanctification, where we are being made more and more like Christ Jesus, it is important that we are putting off our sin more and more, and putting on righteousness more and more. So the call for you this evening is to concern yourself with both God's commands and His power. Our first step, we see that the Lord sets His gaze on men who refuse to change. This is a scary thing. Verse 14, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Pharaoh's heart is stubborn. He refuses to let the people go.'" As we look in our lives, can you see areas in which your heart has been stubborn? Where you have refused to put off the old man. Where you have refused to put off a particular sin. And we continue on in the old way without concern. We see in verse 15 that God continues on and even mentions the past demonstrations. "And you shall take in your hand the staff that was turned into a serpent." Can you look at your life now and notice the places where you have refused to turn? Can you notice the places where you have refused to turn and God has been merciful? He has not dealt with you as you have deserved in those moments. Has there been sin that He has graciously kept covered up to this point? And has not revealed your crimes, has not made it public. There's a statement in Proverbs 5 where it says, "Almost I was an utter ruin in the great assembly." That each of us should know and see that as we would continue on in the sin, God looks on us and He has not forgotten. He sees what we are doing. And He continuously calls us to a faithful repentance from these crimes. And the one who will not turn, He loves you far too much to allow anyone to continue in such a sin. The steps or the pathways of evil that He restrains us from. It's important to remember the idea of evil. The word for it in the Hebrew is ra, and it just means destruction. To walk in paths of sin is to walk in paths of destruction. Now we sing and ask God to keep us from presumptuous sins. These sins that we would continue in and not repent of, these are those presumptuous sins. Saying that I can continue in them. Saying that I am not hurting anyone else. No one even knows. If you continue on in any of those paths for any length of time, you see they do hurt other people. They do hurt other people. When we drink of poison, it hurts us. When we drink of poison, it affects the ways that we interact with other people. When we drink of poison, God does not use us the way that He would if we were walking in truth. And I'm referring to sin as drinking poison. In Jeremiah 2:13, it talks about the double sin of the people, that they had rejected Him and the living waters, and they hewn out cisterns for themselves that would not hold water to drink from. Our sin is twofold, that we reject Him and we take something else to fill us. And it is a dangerous place where we see the law, where we see the command, and we say, no, even if you don't say it. But if you just turn and walk your own way without concern. So our next step is get rid of your idols. Verses 17 and 18. "Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the water that is in the Nile with the staff that is in my hand, and it will be turned to blood. The fish that are in the Nile will die, and the Nile will become foul, and the Egyptians will find difficulty in drinking water from the Nile." Now this idea of throwing down your idols, and here's why I'm bringing this point here. If you're following in your outline, it's down in the next step, Numbers 33:4. While the Egyptians were burying all their firstborn, whom the Lord had struck down among them, the Lord had also executed judgment on their gods. Each of the plagues that God had brought upon them was on an element that they had worshipped. They looked at the Nile and they worshipped the Nile. They say, look, the water comes, the water waters our crops grow, we eat our crops. The fish are in there, the Nile supplies the fish. They took the general revelation, as we have talked about in Psalm 19, where we see the spacious heavens declare the glory of God, and all things that are created declare the glory of God. And they took those things and separated it from the true God and said, this is what I love. This is what protects me. This is what gives me what I need. This is my God. In our own lives, as we look and consider where we run to for gratification, where we run to for help, where we run for comfort, we make that a god. That becomes what we worship. That becomes what we serve. That becomes what we meditate on. What do you run to when you're fearful? What do you run to when you're anxious? What do you run to when your heart is troubled? Where do you want to go? If it isn't to him, it is to an idol. We look and we will see that each of the 10 plagues is something that they have worshipped. Now, God will take the thing that you worship and he's going to destroy it. Here we see he didn't just destroy it, he made it disgusting. Disgusting. A few months back, we were visiting another city and it was extremely hot, and we and some friends decided to go swimming, and the kids went down into the river, and as I was walking along, I looked over and there was this big, ugly, dead carp laying there along the water, and as the water moved, this ugly carcass was floating back and forth. Its eyes were bugged out and blood red. It was disgusting. Now, this is completely appropriate for this moment. I want you to see that. Because we look at what was taking place in the Nile, and it is a thousandfold that disgusting. A thousandfold. Coming across one dead fish carcass that is bloated and disgusting and stinking is nothing compared to what God did to the Nile here. It's nothing compared to what God does with our idols. We are to look and see and hate our sin. To see it as disgusting. The pathways of life are the scripture. Sin is the pathway of death. Now that doesn't say a lot in our culture, the pathway of death, unless you've worked on a farm. Unless you had to clean up things that were dead. When you see that death takes on a new meaning, death takes on a new face for you. We look at the scripture and we see that if someone has had to touch a dead carcass, they're unclean till evening. If you had to touch your dead relative, you were unclean till evening. You had the understanding that death is dark. Death is disgusting. Death is horrible. Death stinks. Death is unclean. Here, what they loved and worshiped, the flowing waters of life as they believed in them, God showed them, it's death. It's death. And for each of us, we are to see our own sin the same way. Death. Disgusting. Worse than that bloated fish with its eyes bugging out of its skull, blood red. Each of your sins that you would love is death, and worse than that, because it takes us away from the author of life. It removes us further and further and further from him until he is forced to act. And he will act. He disciplines those he loves. And if you have continued on in this unrepentant sin until now, know that he will not allow it to continue. He loves his children too much not to discipline them. We see in verse 21, the fish that were in the Nile died, and the Nile became foul, so that the Egyptians could not drink water from the Nile. Even for 7 days, it was so disgusting, they couldn't get to it. So our next step is to express the true God. Verse 16, you shall say to them, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews. Now he comes in and he makes a statement, the Lord. Lord is this word attached to alive, attached to living, the living one. He comes in and Pharaoh has his idols. He's got his river. Pharaoh's got his statues. Pharaoh's got his frogs. He's got all these things that they will worship. But Moses comes in and says, the living one. The living God. The true God says to you, you must obey him. This is the message of the kingdom of heaven. The true God became flesh, came to earth, lived a perfect life, laid down his life for the sacrifice for sinners, for you and for me. And if you will trust in him, you will have life. People imagine a generic God, just whatever you want to believe, whatever you want to think of. People imagine a higher power that you can label as whatever and believe in it. No. The living God. The God of the Hebrews. The God of the Scripture is the true God who performs the great works and the miracles. This is the God who saves, the one who draws out, as we are seeing in the book of Exodus, the God who delivers, the God who preserves, and we will see in our next step, he is the God who will be heard. He will not be ignored forever. We cannot continue on without concern in our lives for his commandments, his statutes, his testimonies. He will not permit it. Each of us in our own lives, he will speak and he will deal with our sin. We do not get away with anything. It will be repented of, or it will be dealt with soundly. So our next step, number 4, is do as the Lord commands. Seems pretty simple. You can think of children, when one of the children is strong-willed and keeps going their own way. I've heard siblings say to their strong-willed sibling, why won't you just do what mom and dad says? Why won't you just do it? It's so much easier. It's so much better. But there's these hearts, and we've seen them in children, haven't we? We've looked at them, and maybe we've been angered. Maybe we've been disgusted. Maybe by our own children, maybe by our siblings, or maybe we've lived through this ourselves. And we can look back and say, I was terrible. I was terrible not to listen. Some of us look back and we see the consequences of our sins, and we can say, how terrible I was. Some of us feel the consequences even now. How terrible I was. We look at the scripture and we see he is the one who speaks. God comes on the scene. Verse 20, so Moses and Aaron did even as the Lord had commanded. They move into the situation and they obey. And when they obey, it is this marvelous scene that is taking place. When I was a child, my father and I, we would go into the woods and we enjoyed making dams together in a little creek. And it was fantastic. It was this great time. And I kept it up as I got older and I took my kids. And we were working at one point and one of the children said something about, we've almost stopped the water. And it might have been the words of my dad echoing in my ear. You can't stop the water, son. You can only slow it down. And as I've processed that through the course of my life, I realized, that's right. God has told that water, you get to the ocean. And that water is going to do it. It is going to go. And when we look at life, when anyone has tried to stop water, when the floods rise, can you stop that water? You cannot. God has told all that water, you, to the ocean. And it says, amen, yes, Lord, and it's going to the ocean. You and I, in like manner, when you are living what God has said to do, there is a power present. He will accomplish the great work that He has promised. As you live in accordance with what He has said, nothing is more powerful than under God, than the creation that He has made doing what it's been told to do. This is a beautiful thing. And as you and I have lived and we have seen many saints well refined, we can talk about their beauty. We can talk about the beauty of Madge Adams. We can talk about the beauty of Joe Caskey. We can talk about the beauty of many saints who have gone on before us and the power executed in their lives to love the one true God and to love their neighbors. Isn't that where we need to be? Jesus had testified there in John 14 that I have done exactly as the Father has told me, that the world would see and glorify my Father. Isn't that what we want? Wouldn't we love to be in a church full of Madge Adams and Joe Caskeys? I had thought of, when I was working on Joe's funeral in particular, just pointing out that we shouldn't lack now that Joe's gone. Each of us have shoes to step into. We shouldn't lack when Madge is gone. Each of us have shoes to step into. Place to pray, a place to love, a place to labor, and a place to proclaim a great work as we would do as the Lord commands. Our next step, number 5, is give up the extra work that comes from disobedience. I wonder if that resonates with you right away, as you would think of the ways that you have run after your sin and worked hard to sin, to have these things that God has forbidden. If you considered the hours that you have put into emptiness and wasted pursuit, we see in verse 24, so all the Egyptians dug around the Nile for water to drink, for they could not drink the water of the Nile. My mind goes back to that Jeremiah 2:13. This digging. We have these people who were separated from the covenant. Later on, we look in Scripture, and after the Israelites had left, we see that there were Egyptians that said, I'd like to be on your side. They saw what the living God was doing, and they said, I think I'd rather not be an Egyptian anymore. I'd like to be a child of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we see in the Scripture that there were people who were taken in. They received the sign of the covenant. They were grafted in. Some of our teachers think that when you looked around Israel, it didn't just look like a bunch of Jewish people standing around. You looked and saw the foreigner who had come into their midst. There's so many laws regarding them. They think that their assembly then would look a lot more like our assembly now, or our assembly maybe as it should be a little more, with a bit more diversity. But people came and people believed. We see the work that goes into sin. And what would your life be like now if you considered the hours that you've put into sin? If you put it into reading the Bible? If you put it into praying? If you put it into writing letters to people? Sharing the gospel with our loved ones? Give up the extra work that comes with disobedience. This brings us to our 6th step. Be concerned about God's commands and power. Again, verses 22 and 23. But the magicians of Egypt did the same with their secret arts. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them, as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house with no concern even for this. How does your night end? Tonight, will you just turn and go into your house with no concern even for this? Will we continue on in our presumptive sins? Continue on in our own disobedience, waiting for our idols to be made disgusting and destroyed? Or will we do as the Lord commands, putting off the old man more and more, putting on righteousness more and more, to walk more like Christ Jesus? Be concerned. Be concerned with his commands. Be concerned about his power. Pray with me. Our God, we thank you that you do great work. Thank you that you have spoken to us by your prophets and by your Son, Jesus Christ. God, convict us of our sin. Convict us of our idols. And we ask, God, that you would bless us and that we would repent of our sin before we are brought to utter ruin in the midst of the assembly. That you would be glorified as we would love you in accordance with your commands. That we would love our neighbors in accordance with your commands. And that we would proclaim your gospel to the lost. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.